A very good morning to you all, and happy Pentecost Sunday. On behalf of the Newport on Tay Church of Scotland, I wish to welcome all of you to this service of public worship, and also to welcome all those who are worshiping with us in the Zoom service that will be conducted by Bill. During this first part, we will worship together, and at a certain point, we shall separate, and the Zoom service will continue at their own end. We want to thank God sincerely as we come together this morning for his love, for his grace, for his compassion, and for his care, and especially for the fact that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost day, the Comforter, as Jesus Christ called it. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 118. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is good, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our first hymn this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. God of all power and peace, You gloriously fulfilled the great promise of the gospel by sending down the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to establish your church as the house of your continuous presence among people. Mercifully give to us the same gift of the Spirit, we humbly pray you, and renew, enlighten, refresh, and sanctify us. Be over us and around us evermore until we share fully in your life. Almighty and most holy God, you know all things, your eyes see all children of men and women, and know the thoughts and intentions of their hearts. We are ashamed to lift up our eyes to your great glory. We have sinned against you through willfulness and unbelief. We have not sought light through your spirit of wisdom, but following our own desires have continually wandered from your ways. We have not sought strength through your spirit of power. Therefore, the good that we ought to have done, we have been unable to do, and the evil that we ought not to have done, we have done. We have grieved your Holy Spirit and are no more worthy to be called your children. You have sent your Spirit to convince us of our sins and to bring us to righteousness. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who asks us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We want to say goodbye to those worshiping via Zoom, and again to wish you a very happy Pentecost Sunday. God bless you all. We will continue with our worship here as we take our next hymn, Glory Be to God the Father.
Let us listen for the word of God. And our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And we are to read verses 11 to 12, 17, and 24 to 29, beginning at 11. Moses asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers?" And at verse 17, the Lord replies, "I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." Then at 24, "So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and made them stand round the tent. Then the Lord came down to the cloud and spoke with him, and he took the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. The young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, spoke up and said, 'Moses, my Lord, stop them.' But Moses replied, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them.'" And our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, from chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Thanks be to God.
"Breathe on me, breath of God," our next hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Spirit of the living God, dwelling in your church, come and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love as we hear the preaching of your word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ says, I will not leave you as orphans. There are seasons in life, there are moments when the transitions, changes, and tragedies can leave us feeling as orphans. Whether spoken or unspoken, the questions begin. What will I do now? Where do I go from here? What happens next? Who will nurture and guide me? What will become of me? And these are familiar questions to many of us. When we lose a spouse or someone that is near and dear to us, a son or a daughter, or another family member who provided a safe haven for us, or a friend whose wise counsel and helpful company kept us going. When we lose them, we ask questions. What is going to happen to me now? We feel like orphans. Because those are the questions that orphans ask. And those are the questions that were running through the minds of the disciples of Jesus Christ when he told them that he was leaving. And when eventually he left and went back to heaven. But then Jesus assured them when he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How? How would he come to them and to us? I will come to you. But how? Jesus Christ kept that promise by sending the Holy Spirit, which is in the world, to change and to transform us and to comfort us in time of need. Because the Holy Spirit acts as a comforter, as the paraclete, one who intercedes or supports or acts as an advocate, particularly in times of trial. The Holy Spirit provides wise counsel to the followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit guides us to all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. And we learn from Scripture that it is a seal in the lives of believers. In the ancient world, a seal was a legal signature attesting ownership and validating what was sealed. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers as a seal, and so that they could be confident in their salvation. Just as you might make a deposit payment on a new car to make sure the salesperson doesn't sell it to anyone else, the Holy Spirit is a deposit in our lives, confirming the validity of Christ's message and that we belong to Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul writes, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, friends, the mark of the seal of the Holy Spirit does not just appear in our lives. Jesus Christ lays down the conditions for that to happen. He says in our text, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." So love for Jesus Christ leads his followers to obey or keep his commandments, that is, his teachings. There is a quotation attributed to St. Augustine of Hippo that puts it this way: "Love God and do whatever you please. For the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved." We all know that if we love someone, we don't have difficulty doing the things we know they want. And so keeping Jesus' teachings can be one clear evidence of our love. And what do we do when we love him? The answer is in one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the sheep and the goats. He recognizes people who keep his teachings. And in that parable, he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Matthew 25, 35, 36, and 40. So keeping God's commandments means living according to God's righteousness and doing the things that he has asked us to do. It means to love. And even though we do not see the Holy Spirit, we know through the changes that our transformed lives bring to society and how people benefit from our goodness that the Spirit of God lives in us. So we do not see the Spirit, but the Spirit of God is seen in the lives that we live. The story is told of a little boy who was flying his kite. It was a windy day, and the kite kept going higher and higher. Finally, it got so high that it was out of sight. A man passed by and saw the little boy holding onto the string. The man could not see the kite, and he asked the boy, "How do you even know you have a kite up there?" The boy replied, "Because I can feel it." Dear friends, although we cannot see the Holy Spirit, we should be able to sense his work in our lives, changing us into the image of God. A walk in the Spirit will of necessity be a walk in accordance with the word of that the Spirit has inspired in us. The parallel between Ephesians 5:18-21 and Colossians 3:15-17 is significant. The same results are said to flow from being filled with the Spirit in the first case and being filled with the word in the second. So to remain filled with the Spirit and thus enjoy his continuing sanctifying work will mean continuing to be filled with the Word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, for John the Apostle, there is only one test of love, and that is obedience. It was by his obedience that Jesus showed his love of God, and it is by our obedience that we must show our love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious love upon our lives. And we thank you that even though Jesus Christ left this earthly life and went back to heaven, you have not allowed us without a comforter, but you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and amongst us, to continue to transform us and to sustain us and to help us in time of trouble. We pray, O Father, that we may be open to the Holy Spirit's guidance, that we may be obedient to your will, that even as we love you, we may love one another. Blessed be your name. For in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Come, Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you because it is out of your goodness that you have granted us all that we have and all that we have. We thank you even for our financial resources, part of which we bring back to you, a result of our human work and effort, but more of the abundance of your blessings. May you bless its use for the good of your church. Father, we praise you, we give thanks to you, we adore you, the giver of all good things. We bless you for your love, for your goodness and mercy that have followed us all our days. Especially this day, we magnify your name for the coming of the Holy Spirit, to show us Christ and to bring us nearer to him. We thank you for the gifts you give us through him to enable us to do your will and sanctify us by his power. Almighty God, as you have sent your Holy Spirit to remain with your church, to enlighten, comfort, and guide it, so give to us the same gift to help us in our weakness and to teach us how to pray. We pray you to give us power to bear witness to the truth of your gospel, that those who serve you already may be strengthened, and those who do not yet serve you may turn to you. Make your church in this land alive by the power of your Spirit, that all men and women may know that you are in the midst of us who are called by your name. We pray you, O God, to remember this fatherland and our town Newport-on-Tay in which we live. Help us, O Father. Be with all those who lead us. We pray for the Queen, for the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, for the First Minister of Scotland, and all who rule with them in your ways, that this country may be wisely governed, that justice and peace may reign throughout. O God, your love and your will for men and women is peace. Quench by the might of your Spirit all pride, anger, and selfishness, which cause man to fight against man and people against people, and help all those who work for peace and understanding between men and nations, and bind all together in one brotherhood in the kingdom of your Son. We pray again, O Father, for the crisis in Israel and Palestine. Let your will be done in that land. Let wars cease and let peace return. Father of mercy, you know the needs of your children. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to all who are in trouble. Strengthen the weak, uphold the sick, refresh the weary, cheer up the downcast, and give strong comfort to the lonely, the forgotten, and those who mourn. We praise you for the whole company of your people who have served you and have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus, especially those dear to us. Give us grace to follow them in faith, so that when this earthly life is ended, we may together with them see your face in your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our only Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is, Be Thou My Vision. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.